This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To start with, I think I fell in love with Surah Yusuf since I was almost 6 or 7 years old when my father started teaching me the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on his soul and all the deceased people, inshallah. Ameen. How many of you fell in love with Surah Yusuf since you were young? MashaAllah. Great. How many of you started memorizing Surah Yusuf at the very beginning of, you know, memorizing the Quran? Okay. Next question is, because my approach, inshallah, tonight is going to be a linguistic approach, because all of us, or let's say most of us, inshallah, know this story. But we will drive lots of lessons, inshallah, from the surah, but we will be focusing on the language, inshallah. So how many of you know Arabic? I just want to know exactly. Okay. How many of you know Urdu? I don't know Urdu. Thank you. Okay. I think all of us speak English, right? Just as a quick introduction, inshallah, before we go into the language, I just want to share with you that there were certain conditions when Surah Yusuf was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The situation in Mecca was very tense, and as Sheikh Yasser mentioned, with a decade of da'wah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, inspired lots of hatred and opposition on the part of the pagans of Mecca. And they persecuted the Muslims so much. And if you trace back when was the surah was revealed, there is no specific record, but it's like mostly on the 10th year of the da'wah in Mecca. And they say it was revealed in the year that's called the year of sadness, Aam al-Huzn. And the reason it was called the year of sadness is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his uncle Abu Talib. And a few weeks after that, 5 to 6 weeks, there was another personal loss, which was one of the greatest loss in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he lost Khadija radiallahu anha. And these were the two humans on earth who supported him after the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scholar said, Nazalat Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf was sent down to the Prophet ﷺ, was revealed, Tasriya wa Tasliya. Two words in Arabic. Tasriya and Tasliya. Tasriya means because it was the year of sadness, so it would just take the sadness away from the heart of the Prophet ﷺ for the great loss that happened to him. And Tasliya because it's the only surah in the Quran that's a whole, you know, story by itself. The whole story was told, you know, in one surah. So usually storytelling, you know, attracts the attention of people. And this one, inshallah, you know, while we are going through the surah, you know, we'll stop at certain, you know, scenes. And then we'll say, what's next, inshallah? Although all of you know that, because I remember one time I shared this with my students back in Kuwait in the 90s. And subhanAllah, the way we advertised it in the masjid, you know how, especially how to hype the young people. If you say Tafsir Surah Yusuf, you know, 5 people will show up. But we said the story of love in the Quran. And believe me, there was no space in the masjid, in the 2 levels. And everybody knows the story, subhanAllah. But then I would say, and then they met in the room and they were plotting. What happened next? We'll continue after Maghrib, inshallah. It was like, can you just tell us, you know? Like, you know the story. SubhanAllah. And this is why the story like attracts the attention of people. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. When it comes to Asbab al-Nuzul, which is one of the sciences related to the Quran, the reasons of revelation. There are many, you know, surahs in the Quran and many verses in the Quran that were revealed for a reason. Meaning like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond to a question posed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would challenge him. And it was the Jews, the people of the book at that time, and they used to live in Medina. Some people amongst the pagans, they went to Medina because they trusted, you know, them as people of the book. And they know that they have a book and they are literate. And most of the pagans were illiterate. So they went to them and they asked them, they said like, you know, just tell us something in your books that we can go and ask him. And then they told him, they said, go and ask him about Yusuf alayhi salam. And why did he leave Bilad Kanaan, which is Bilad al-Sham at that time, and move to Egypt? If he answers you, if he tells you the story, then he's a prophet and he's revealed to. If he can, then he's a liar. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him the question. Inshallah, we'll see this inshallah during the interpretation of the verses. The scholars of tafsir, they said there is also another reason for the revelation of the surah. They said the Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Prophet of Allah, why didn't you tell us like some stories of the people of the past? What happened to them? And then they said, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah. Now let's start the surah inshallah. And the first thing that I just want to ask you is, what is the first words of the surah? Alif, Lam, Ra. Okay, let me write this. I hope everybody can see this at the back. Can you see at the back? Okay. And I'm going to write another word. So for those who can speak Arabic, what is this? Okay. And this is? I would say this is the translation, right? Okay. And this is? And this is? Perfect. Okay. If I were to ask you this question, what is this? Okay. If I write it this way, what is this? Okay. What is this? Okay. And this? Here's the question. That's the first lesson we should learn before we start Surah Yusuf, inshallah. Okay? And this is why, inshallah, we're going to suggest, you know, a lesson, like, you know, a seminar in phonetics, inshallah, in Maghrib. Okay? Pertinent to the language. This is B. This is the letter, right? And this is Ba. That's the sound. So we have a letter and we have a sound. And there's a difference between both of them. Okay? Now, if I ask you, which comes first? Speech or writing? Speech. And was the Prophet ﷺ literate or illiterate? What did he learn first? If I were to ask the Prophet ﷺ to read this, would he be able to read it? He didn't know how to read and write. Right? Okay. If you have a mushaf with you now, I just want you to go to Surah Al-Fil, which is Surah number 105. It starts with, read it. What did you change? What didn't you say Alif Lam Mim? You see what I'm saying? Okay, start also and open Surah Al-Sharh, Surah number 94. How does it start? So why do we sometimes say Alif, Lam, Mim, and sometimes we say Alam? Who decides this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did we learn this? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So which comes first? Speech, then language or writing, right? Okay, how do we explain writing? We say Kataba, right, in Arabic, which means to write. And the noun from that is Al-Kitab. Okay? And for speech we say Qara'a, right? And the noun would be something which is read. Qara'a, this is the act of reading. And Qur'an is something that's read. That's the literal meaning of it. Okay? Okay. So now, what decides to read Alif, Lam, Mim? This is the first miracle in the Qur'an. That we learned this through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If anyone who learns the Arabic language and you write to him Alif, Lam, Mim, he will always read it as Alif, Lam, Mim. Should we write it like this?
for us to read it? Or do we have to do the same thing in English? We say Aleph, Lam, Mim. How do you read this at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? Aleph, Lam, Mim. Right? Subhanallah. At the beginning of Surah Al-Sharh, you say Alam, Nashrah Laka Sadrak. At the beginning of Surah Al-Fil, Alam Tara Kayfa Fa'ala Rabbuka Bi Ashab Al-Fil. Who told the Sahaba who were literate to read it Alam in one surah and Alif Lam Mim in another surah? Prophet Muhammad Sallam, although he was unliterate, he doesn't know how to read and write. So this tells you that we have two versions of the Quran, Kitab and Quran. What's the meaning of Kitab? That which is written. Quran, that which is recited or read. Which comes first? The recitation. And this is why every time Jibreel alayhi salam would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so keen to repeat after him. Why? He was afraid to forget. And who can share with me which surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعَجَلَ بِهِ. Surah Al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry, don't repeat after Jibreel alayhi salam. Why? إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. We will combine it in your hearts. Don't worry. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. Oh Muhammad, don't worry. You will not forget the Quran. Is that clear now? So let's go to the surah now. With this background, inshallah. The very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif, Lam, Ra. What does this mean? Many scholars of tafsir, subhanallah, they came up with things, but there is no authentic hadith that tells what's the meaning of the, we call them in Arabic or in tafsir, الحروف المقطعات or المقطعات. Okay, there is no authentic hadith that says this is what it means, but some people came with their own, you know, they exercised their own discretion and they came up with their own opinion. Some people say if you combine all of them, they will make the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no authentic hadith that talk about this. Some other people say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the Arabs. Why? And here we need to stop. And again, this is again another thing about the miraculous nature of the Arabic language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to support every prophet with something that was common at his time, which is, we call it ayah. But ayah in the sense of something extraordinary. We call it mu'jiza, which is a miracle. Okay? So what was common at the time of Musa alayhi salam? Magic, right? So most of his miracles were related to magic. What was common at the time of Isa alayhi salam? Medicine. Most of his miracles were related to what was common at the time of the Prophet salam? Poetry, mastering the language, right? Subhanallah. They have fairs. Like, you know, today we have fairs for what? Cars? Miss Universe? This is, tells you how people, you know, concerned people today, right? But at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the pagans of Mecca, their main concern was language, mastering the language. So subhanAllah, they used to have fairs for poets. And a poet was held in high esteem. He would be the leader of his tribe. Like Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, for example. You know, you all know, when you read Surah Al-Muddathir, there are 16 verses about Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Because they sent him to go and come back with the judgment of the Quran, to criticize the Quran. Anyway, so they used to have fairs where people will come and have a contest, like the poets. And they have, like, you know, a place called Uqaz where they used to have those fairs. They have, you know, in Mecca. And subhanAllah, a poet will come and recite 400 lines of verse, poetry, without making the slightest mistake in rhyme, rhythm, grammar, language, anything. And the winner, his poem will be written in gold, and it will be hanged on the Kaaba. And this is known in the Arabic literature as Al-Mu'allaqat. Al-Mu'allaqat means things that are hanged. So they used to hang it on the Kaaba. Why? Just as some sort of honor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to tell, this is one opinion of the scholars of tafsir, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to tell the Arabs, if you are masters of the language, and here is exactly the challenge came. First stage was, can you make up a Quran like this? It's composed of the same letters that you use in poetry. Alif, Lam, Ra. Alif, Lam, Mim. Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Sad. Ha, Mim. Qaf. Yasin. Ta, Ha. And it's funny, like, you know, one time, when people, even like, you know, the Arabs, it's not only, you know, the non-Arabs who wouldn't, you know, understand the classical Arabic, and here I'm talking about the classical Arabic, not the Egyptian dialect or the Moroccan dialect. Somebody came and asked me a question about Surat Yusuf. He said, like, you know, since you did this and this in Surat Yusuf, you know, were there cars at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam? I said, why? He said, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةً. He said, there came a car. I said, this is your Arabic. Where are you from? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean sayara here. It doesn't mean a car. You know, the Arabic word for car is sayara. But it doesn't mean sayara here. And what was funnier than this, you know, inshallah we'll come across this inside the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when the brothers of Yusuf went back to their father and said, وَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا نَكْتَلْ. And I was talking like, you know, do you know the names of Yusuf's brothers? And one of them said, yes. I said, tell me one. He said, نَكْتَلْ. I said, how did you do this? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا, send with us our brother, نَكْتَلْ. And I said, نَكْتَلْ means to get a measure. It doesn't mean, it's not the name of a person. So it's not amazing, you know, that not only like the non-Arabs who don't understand this, it's, you know, some Arabs are very creative too. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started challenging him by saying, make up a Quran like this. And of course it was very difficult. They can't. Have you heard about some people who claimed prophethood after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One of them is Musaylimah. Give me the last name. Is this his last name? This is his title. Nobody knows his last name, right? Subhanallah. Because he's a liar. So he deserves that, right? So subhanallah, he came and said, you know, وَالرُّزُّ وَالْحَمَامُ وَاللَّيْلُ الْهُمَامُ. He just put up some words that rhyme with each other. It's like people were laughing at him. It's like, what is this? He says, this is the Quran that comes up to me. It's like, you know, did you eat, you know, like a big meal before you go to bed? It's nonsense. Like when you try to make sense out of what he's saying, it's nonsense. It's like, you know, this is the Quran that comes to me. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged him, like, make up a Quran like this. And they couldn't. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it down. He said, فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. He said, like, make up, you know, again, fabricated 10 surahs like the Quran. And again, they couldn't. So Allah took it down to the minimum, which is, read Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ayah 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ سُورَةٍ. Just one. If you are in doubt of what we have sent down or revealed to our servant, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just make up one surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surah. Just one. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, sorry, like there's a continuation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, keep the challenge. He said, وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Like, you know, try to bring all those who will support you, you know, away or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you were telling the truth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the challenge. He said, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. What does لَمْ do? لَمْ negates the past. You were not able to do this in the past. وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. And you will not be able to do this in the future. So what's the result? فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. Protect yourselves, save yourselves from fire. Look at the challenge. And this is in the Quran itself. Let me ask another question. If somebody writes a book today, they usually write at the end of the book, they start, you know, the apologetic approach. Like, you know, if you find any, you know, mistakes or any, you know, shortcomings, you know, please email me, because in the next edition, inshallah. Do they say inshallah? And then, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran challenged them. He said, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا. Yehuda sisters, come on. This is Quran. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has challenged him. He said, if this was revealed, you know, if it's coming from another source other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would find lots of differences and contradictions in the Quran. Can you find any? And some Orientalists came and said, like, yeah. Are you familiar with the word Orientalist? Al-Mustashriqun. People who studied the Quran just to try to find mistakes. And we're going to share some, inshallah, today. To start with, somebody came to one of the scholars, and one of those who did tafsir, you know, Al-Manar, Muhammad Abdu, Imam Muhammad Abdu, rahimahullah, and he said, in your book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطُنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, we have left nothing, but we offered you guidance in this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance in everything. Then he said, so the Quran tells you everything. He said, yes. He said, here's the challenge. Can you tell me if I give you now 10 kilograms of flour, how many loaves of bread would that make? And the Imam said, hold on. And he called a baker. And when the baker came, he said, okay, answer this question, like, you know, how can... And then he gave him the answer, like, and then he gave him the answer. He said, like, you know, why are you bringing a baker? Why don't you find the answer in the Quran? He said, the answer is in the Quran. And that's exactly what I did. He said, how come? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hijr, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people who are specialized. If you don't know, do you think that I'm a sheikh? I know everything? And this is what they always, that's exactly the assumption of all people. Like, you know, a sheikh comes, ask him about everything. You know, I have a problem with my husband. Problem with my father. You know, there's black magic played in me. There's, you know, I have pain in my ankle here. Is this my ankle? The sheikh doesn't know everything, you know. And this is, subhanAllah, this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he divided his rizq. And the word rizq, by the way, we always, when we hear the word rizq, we always think about money. Right? Allah divided his rizq, you know, amongst all people. You know, how many people are engineers here? That's one aspect. Okay, how many brothers are working in as accountants? Okay, perfect. IT. Mashallah. Mashallah. Okay, do we have physicians here? Okay, mashallah. You see? I'll share a story with you. One time, I was at home, and where I live in Cairo, I live in the 7th floor. And all the building, you know, they're all professionals, like people, you know, somebody who works in the cabinet, and somebody who's a physician, somebody who's an engineer. And subhanAllah, all of a sudden, you know, we had a problem with the pipe, with the sewage system. And my son was young. And the guard, he started calling us, like, you know, please come and help. And then we will all rush down. And I took my son with me because I wanted to teach him something. And then we're all standing there, and it's like, you know, the guard said, like, you know, do something. And I said, wait, I'm going to get my PhD from upstairs. I just wanted my son to think about this. And then I said, did you call, because I'm the chairman of the building, I said, like, did you call the plumber? And then he said, yes. But he said, he's very busy. He's going to come after half an hour. And I said, okay, I have another doctor. I have another plumber's number, you know. And I called him. And he said, like, you know, he will be able to come after 1.5 hours. He's very busy. And, you know, he makes more money than me as a professor at the university. Anyway, so I told my son, Dr. Plummer is busy. He's not going to come now. And he will be drowning in this building. So, like, why don't you do something? Don't you have a PhD? I was like, it's not in plumbing. He said, what about all these people? They all have nice cars and they are very rich. And I said, but they don't know plumbing. You see what I'm saying? So I wanted to teach him something, you know, because unfortunately sometimes we look down upon people when it comes to their social status in the community. This is not Islamic at all. The slippers of Bilal are in Jannah, and the Pharaoh of Egypt is in hellfire. Allah told us this in the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ told us about Bilal in a ru'ya, which we're going to be talking about ru'ya, you know, that he saw for Bilal. So this is very important. Why did I say this? What's the relation, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Like when this person came, the Orientalists, to ask Imam Muhammad Abdu about this, we have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided specializations. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, what's the meaning of dhikr in the Quran? I know your guys study the words and the roots, right? So I'm going to be very picky on you, okay? inshallah, we're going to show Dr. Farhad that you are, mashallah, very good scholars of the future, inshallah. So, what's the meaning of the word al-dhikr? A reminder? Okay. Does it come always in the Quran, meaning a reminder? Okay. Give me, if you said no, give me examples from the Quran. Okay, let me give you another example and you tell me what's the meaning of the word, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. What is the meaning of dhikr here? No, it means an honor. The word dhikr here means an honor for you and your people, but you will be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. This is, you know, Surah number 15, Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 9. Verily, or indeed, we have sent down al-dhikr, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and we will preserve it. So what's the meaning of dhikr here? That's it. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily mean the Quran all the time when it comes in the Quran. Okay, so be careful. Because you will discover many things, inshallah, today and the following 3 days, inshallah, that don't take the literal meaning of the word. When we say adab in the Quran, when we say dhulm in the Quran, does it mean the same thing every time? No. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. What's the meaning of dhulm here? It is shirk. This is the highest degree of dhulm, injustice. Okay? So don't take it for literal meaning, inshallah. So the reason I'm saying this again is because we as a community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, we all need each other. And that's what I taught my son. I said, so when the plumber will come now, all of us will give him like, you know, a military salutation. It's like, no, Dr. Plumber, please take care of us. You know what I'm saying? Because we need him. We need him. And at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran, we have raised you in ranks over each other. He made it indefinite in the Quran. Why? Because today, I'm on the stage. Tomorrow, I'm down. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So, this is life. The plumber is needed at that point. Okay? But then tomorrow, he sends his son to me at the university. And both me, the plumber, and the son will go to the dentist. So we all need each other. And this is why the poet says in Arabic, النَّاسُ مِنْ بَدْوٍ وَحَاضِرَةٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَشْعُرُوا خَدَمُوا. People, whether they are Bedouins or nomads, they live like in a city, you know, they need each other. And they serve each other, whether they are, you know, conscious of that or not. We serve each other. So we have to respect each other. And this is why when Bilal, you know, radiallahu anh, was blamed for the fact that he's black by Abu Dharr, radiallahu anh. No, Bilal went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, Bilal ayyarani bisawadi ummi. O Prophet of Allah, Bilal blamed me for the fact that my mother is black. So the Prophet, you know, called Abu Dharr. And he said, did you do that? He said, yes, Prophet of Allah. He said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤُمْ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ. You still have one of the qualities of the pre-Islamic era, the time of ignorance. He said, in a narration, he said, مَعَ سِنِّي وَمَكَانَتِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Despite my age, like he was like a poet and he was the head of the tribe, he said, مَعَ سِنَّكَ وَمَكَانَتِكَ. The Prophet is not going to, you know, compliment him. So what did he do? And that's what we need to learn. Like he lied on the ground. And he said, Bilal, ta'wajhi biqadamika ya Bilal. Put your foot on my face. And then, you know, Bilal went down and he hugged him and both of them cried. He said, I just wanted to let you know that I did not create my mother. I did not choose my color. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose this. So we have to respect each other. And this is what Islam came to teach people. Now, usually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, you know, those letters at the beginning of the Quran, He will always mention the Quran after that. I'll give you an example right here. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. These are the verses of the clear book. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan. We have sent it down as a Quran in Arabic, right? Subhanallah. Read Qaf. What comes after Qaf? Qaf. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدِ. Yasin. again, reference to the Quran. Again, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges him. The Quran is composed of these letters. Can you make up a Quran like this? You are masters of the Arabic language. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them in that. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra Tilka. What's the meaning of Tilka? That. And we have this also, right? Why didn't we say this? Because we have in Arabic, we have Hadha and Hadhihi, and we have Tilka. We have also Dhalika, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitab. And here he said, Tilka Ayatul Kitab. Subhanallah. When I say Hadha, it means something close, right? But when I say Tilka, it's something far away, right? So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say Tilka? Although the Quran is between our hands and we can hold it. Honor? Yeah, it's the high status of the Quran. It shows how exalted the Quran is. How noble is the status of the Quran because it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars also said another reason could be the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where was the Quran before it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is another reason. They say because, you know, before it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu, it was in the preserved tablets. Al-lawh al-mahfuz. This is the other reason. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tilka ayat. The word ayat is the plural of ayah. And write this down. When the word ayah in the Quran comes, it comes with three meanings. And then you'll be put, you know, I'll put you through the quiz right away, inshallah. Okay? Ayah, it means a sign in the universe. Like the sun. Like the moon. Like the day. Like the night. How many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges us in the Quran? And how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath with one of those, you know, big signs? Like for example, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah is taking an oath by the sun, right? And its rays. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Who makes the moon come during the night to follow the sun during the day? Did anybody else claim this other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now when we say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Any قُلْ in the Quran is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet ﷺ to say to the people, right? قُلْ, say. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek refuge with the Rabb of Al-Falaq. What's Al-Falaq? Daybreak. Who breaks the day for us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to make the night an everlasting, who other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will break the day for you? Think about this. So this is the meaning of the word ayah. This is the first meaning. Okay. Second meaning, it means a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would support the prophets and the messengers with when people will deny, you know, and not accept that they are prophets. Who can give me an example from the Quran? The word ayah used in the sense of a miracle. Yes. I have a gift for the right answer. Give me the word ayah in the surah. Give me the word ayah itself so that we can know that this is. Yes? MashaAllah. It's not a paper, it's a candy, okay? I don't follow the system of Umar, okay? So, في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وقومه. This is Surah An-Naml, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with, who was the prophet? Musa alayhi salam, to the people of Israel, right? 9 ayat. What's the meaning of the word ayat? Is it verse or sign? It's neither, right? It's a miracle, right? So it doesn't mean a verse, it doesn't mean a sign, it means a miracle. Who can give me just 2 examples of the 9 ayat? 2 examples. The 9 miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported Musa against, you know, the people who denied him. Yes, sister at the back. Can anybody just tell me what she's saying? The frogs. MashaAllah. Yes, al-dhufda. The staff turning into a snake. And this is very famous, right? Let's stop here because we all know this one, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, you know, to throw his rod or staff into the ground, and he said, like, take it back. So when he threw it on the ground, what happened? It turned into a snake. And subhanAllah, the tough mission was he had to hold it from the side of the head, not the tail. So imagine yourself now, and I just want you to visualize this, okay? Like, there is a snake, and you go to the snake, and you just hold it from the mouth. And then when you hold it, what happens? You know, it turns back into a rod again, or a staff again. This was a miracle, something that they can see, right? Okay, what about the water, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn blood into the water every time they would try to use the water, right? Ad-dam, right? So there are nine miracles. This is the second meaning, okay? So fi tis'a ayat, when we translate the word ayat in Surah An-Naml, we can't say signs, we can't say verses. We have to say miracles. And of course, a miracle is a sign for the people. But we have to understand the deeper meaning, okay? Now, the third meaning of the word ayah or ayat is the verse that you see in the Quran, okay? What is the meaning here then? Tilka ayatul kitab. Verse. Perfect. That's the third meaning. Okay. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. We'll stop at the word al-kitab. And we'll go back. This is where we started, right? We said, what comes first? Writing or speaking? Speech, right? So, how was the Quran preserved? How was the Quran preserved? The Quran was preserved in two ways. Okay? A written form, that's the Quran in our hands. And the, give me the word, recitation, right? Which we call tilawa, qira'ah, okay? How do they call this in English? They say, we said the written form and the oral tradition. That's exactly what they say, okay? The oral tradition. So now, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were people around the Prophet ﷺ who were literate, right? They would write down the revelation. After it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, they would write it down. On whatever was handy at that time, like, you know, a piece of cloth, you know, a rock, whatever. And then, was there a need to collect the Quran in one volume at the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ? There was no need. Why? Because the other form of preservation was there, which is the Quran was memorized by hundreds of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And during the Battle of Al-Yamama, at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, you know, 70 people amongst the memorizers were killed. And subhanallah, Umar radiallahu an, before that, he came to Abu Bakr many times and he said, why don't we, you know, combine the Quran and collect it in one volume? And he said, the Prophet didn't do this. And I wouldn't do it. And then subhanAllah, when this happened, and he found out that the oral tradition might end there, so what will happen? The Quran will be lost. So this is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu decided to have a committee that was chaired by Ibn Thabit. And they sat down, and there is a nice story here. They sat down and they combined the Quran into one volume. And subhanAllah, what they did is, they said, we will not write down a verse unless we get, you know, a testimony from two memorizers. Two memorizers would confirm the verse. And subhanAllah, they came across one verse that they found no one except one Sahabi. And his name is Khuzaymah. SubhanAllah, there's a very nice story about Khuzaymah. One time, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, borrowed some money from a Jew. And then the Jew came to claim his money back. And the Prophet ﷺ has already paid him. And then when the man came and he said, Prophet, you know, he asked the Prophet ﷺ to give him the money back. He said, like, I have already paid you. He said, no. And then Khuzaymah was sitting there. And he said, like, the Prophet ﷺ said, I have paid you. And the man said, no. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, who would testify that I paid that man? And Khuzaymah said, me, Prophet of Allah. And then after the man kept silent because he already, you know, took the money. So after that, the Prophet ﷺ asked Khuzaymah, he said, did you see me giving him the money? And then Khuzaymah said, no, Prophet of Allah. He said, how come that you did testify? He said, Prophet of Allah, the revelation will come to you and I can hear nothing. And I followed you and I followed the revelation that will come to you. Would I belie you and do not believe you when it comes to, like, you know, a number of, like, a few dirhams or dinars? Then the Prophet ﷺ said something. He said, Shahadat Khuzaymah takfi. Meaning, look, you can take the testimony of Khuzaymah and it's enough. You don't have to have another one with him. And subhanAllah, that was the only verse that Khuzaymah testified. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran in two ways. We said the written form and the oral tradition. So when it comes to the oral tradition, we all know that the Quran never ceased to be memorized by hundreds of people. Today, how many people do we have? Millions. Millions, right? But I just want to make a comment here. People memorize the words of the Quran. Except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on, right? And how many of us memorize the Quran without knowing Arabic? How many? Lots of people, right? And then if you stop the person, it's like, you know, do you know what you're reciting? They say no. So what is the reason for memorizing the Quran? Inshallah, you will get the reward for memorizing the Quran. But the question is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the messenger says, O Allah, my people have abandoned the Quran. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, the abandonment of the Quran is 5 degrees. The least of which is to abandon the reading. The second, understanding. The third, reflection. The fourth, applying. The fifth, making da'wah, using it to make da'wah to others. Where are we from the Quran? I remember one time, you know, when the cartoons were, you know, published, and we had like a big conference. And I had 6,000 people sitting in front of me. And unfortunately, I'm not saying they are non-Arabs. They are Arabs. It's like, why are you coming today? And everybody was like, you know, we're coming to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, do you love him? They said, yes. I said, show it by your action. I said, on my way here to come to the speech, I saw one of the young people like smoking. Would he like to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while smoking? Is this the way you're coming to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then I said, now I'm going to recite a surah that wallahi I can tell for sure that all of you memorize. And I was addressing 6,000 people. But I will challenge you. I dare you to give me the meaning. And your Arabs. And then I started reciting the surah. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبَحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدَحَا. And then I stopped in the middle. It's like, no. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not Chinese. But what's العاديات? He said. That was the answer. He said, and you're coming to support the Prophet? So the Quran was revealed to be recited. Next. Understood. Reflected upon. Acted upon. Making da'wah using it. This is why the Quran is revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. We have to stop at the word al-mubin. Sometimes when it comes in the Quran, it means it has just one connotation. But other times it has two connotations. Here it has two connotations. Meaning it has two embedded meanings. It means that the Quran is a very clear book. The word mubin means clear, simple. It's not for the shuyukh only to read and understand. It's not only for the shuyukh to apply. It's for every single person who believes in the message of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very simple. It's for everyone. It's very clear in itself. And if you don't understand, ask the people with knowledge. Second, it means it's not only clear in itself, it has a function. It clarifies to people. What does it clarify? What does it clarify? Okay, foul understandings. And we also say the truth from the falsehood. What's evil? From what is good. You see, that's the Quran. That's what it's all about. There is Jannah at the end, and there is Jannah, inshallah, for all of us. Okay? So there are two ways, right? And you decide. And this is why, inshallah, we'll invite you to join our eternal journey, inshallah, coming soon, inshallah, to Toronto. This is a commercial, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. These are the verses of the clear book in itself, and yet it clarifies, you know, to the people the purpose of their life, why they are here. Okay? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنَ الْعَرَبِيَ. Saying إِنَّا. إِنَّا is two words, by the way. إِنَّا means in, إِنَّا, which is a letter of confirmation. And then na, which means we. So indeed we. The word inna by itself is indeed we. And then anzalnahu, again another pronoun that we have to use in Arabic, we say we have sent it down. The word anzalnahu in itself is a sentence. You see what I'm saying? And this is the difference between the Arabic language and the English language. So as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I translate this literally, it would be indeed we have sent it down a Quran in Arabic. And we have many questions here. To start with is, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say we? I received this question now more from the Muslims than the other, like the non-Muslims. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say we? Now we use the royal we, right? The king or the queen, when they want to come with a decree and talk, you know, on behalf of the people, even the president, he would say we. It's out of majesty. It's a single entity, but yet it's out of majesty when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we. Okay, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses we in the Quran, what does it signify? It signifies the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He does through the angels. Because if I were to ask you, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to come down to the earth literally with His essence to do things? Okay, now I want you to clarify this confusion to me then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. When the soul of the person, when the spirit comes to the collar bones here, right? The person is dying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. You are looking at him. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we are closer to him than you. What's the meaning of we here? The angels of death. Allah commands the angel of death. It's not, doesn't mean we, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down. Okay, in Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. We have created man and we know what goes on in his mind, right? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We're closer to him than the jugular vein. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here? Because when you ask people, where is Allah? They're going to say, Allah is everywhere. Is that right? Yes and no. How can we answer this? I'm saying yes and no. Don't challenge me. I'm going to challenge you. I am saying yes and no. Okay? And I will answer this, inshallah, after the break.